Today's passage is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Brilliant. Well, a big thank you there to Tim and to Tash, especially Tim, for that wonderful reading. Well, let me put a verse on the screen, a little part of that reading that Tim has just shared with us. All things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. This is quite an astonishing passage that we're going to be looking at today, and it really blows our mind with who Jesus is. So we're going to need God's help. Let's pray together as we study this together. Heavenly Father, we do pray that your Holy Spirit would shine his spotlight of illumination on the Lord Jesus in this passage today. We pray that wherever we are and whatever's going through our minds right now, whatever fears, whatever hopes, whatever distractions, we would have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Please, would you speak to us as we study this passage? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder if you ever get distracted. You remember that you got an email to send, but when you open your inbox, there's a reminder to renew your antivirus. There's a link to a blog that looks quite interesting. There's a document from your insurers. There's an email from an old friend. And also, it's the last day to get that wonderful online deal for your favorite hobby at a bargain price. Well, it happens all the time for all kinds of people getting distracted. Toddlers at tea time, they get distracted. Teens, when it's time to tidy up, they get distracted. And I guess many of us have been discovering, those who've been working from home, that it's very easy to get distracted. But the shocking thing is that you can get distracted from Jesus as well. Sometimes this happens through what we might call unspiritual things. Unspiritual things, they're normally pretty obvious. And we know that often they're not heading us in the right direction. Maybe a new man or woman in your life who takes a real interest in you but isn't interested in Jesus. Maybe the busyness of life takes us away from Jesus, or just the sheer complexity of trying to figure out how to catch up with relatives when you're only supposed to be six people. And it's not your intention, but you start the term determined to read your Bible, make life group top priority, but then life happens and you get distracted by what we might call unspiritual things. But what's so interesting about this book of Colossians and what's so helpful about it is that it tells us it's not just possible to be distracted from Jesus by spiritual things, but from unspiritual things, but from by spiritual things as well. Let me put that another way. Some of the things that take our minds off Jesus are the things outside of church. But actually, there can be things inside of church that take us away from Jesus as well. That new regime to read the Bible becomes an end in its own right. That new Christian podcast series offering 10 techniques in prayer can end up taking us away from Jesus. It may seem very good, it may seem very appealing, but if it's not rooted in Jesus and who he is, actually something spiritual can take us from him. Maybe that project for church that I'm working on for Jesus actually takes over my love for him. And these Colossians were being tempted to think that Jesus was a great starting point, but now subtly their focus was being drawn to to something or someone else. They were being distracted away from Jesus by spiritual things. And it might just be that someone watching right now realizes that they too have become distracted from Jesus. So let's listen in as Paul uses the absolute antidote to spiritual distraction. And that is to blow our minds with some amazing teaching about who Jesus is. Now, this is an incredibly rich passage. Could have possibly been a creed or some sort of ancient Christian hymn in its earliest form. Our whole passage today actually was one sentence in the original. So there's a lot in here, and I'd encourage you to join a life group this week to dig into it and how it applies to you a little bit more. But let's look at this under two headings. And the first is this. And I'll share this on the screen. You might just like to click at the top of your screen. You'll see a little button that says View Screen. Don't worry if you're on YouTube, you won't need to do this. But if you click on View, you can make sure that side-by-side mode is in action. That way you'll be able to see me and you'll be able to see the screen. The words of the Bible are what you really need, so don't panic if you can't see those things. Just focus on the Bible. So two things that we're going to see today, and the first is this. Jesus is supreme over all creation. Jesus is supreme over all creation. Let me read to you again verses 15 to 17. And as I do this, you can't mistake the emphasis that Paul has here on all things. Jesus, supreme over all creation. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Did you get that? Jesus and all things. Paul is saying that Jesus is supreme over all creation. Jesus is a cosmic Christ. He's not just one among many. He's not even Jesus the great. He's Jesus the only, the awesome, the massive, the supreme, the number one. And we're going to see in just these first two or three verses, four things about who he is. He's the revealer, the ruler, the creator, the sustainer. This is how Jesus relates to everything and everyone who has ever lived. First of all, he's the revealer. Look at that in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God. So we can't see God. We live in a world where we can't see God. If we did, we would be burnt up by his holiness in our sinful state. We can't see God. And as a result, many people deny him, doubt him, reject him. But if you were in Palestine 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, you could have seen God, because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Listen to him as he speaks on the Sermon on the Mount, and you listen to God. Watch him as he reaches out to the outcast and the sinner, and you see God reaching out to humanity. See the kindness of Jesus as he dies on the cross in your place, and you see God's kindness. See it all replayed in the Bible, and you see the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the revealer to all creation, but he's the ruler as well. Look at the next little phrase in this packed sentence. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Back in the day, the firstborn son was the one that inherited everything. In other words, Jesus is the owner, the rightful owner and ruler of all. Africa, America, Antarctica, it's all Jesus's. One former European politician put it like this: there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign, does not cry, mine. Jesus is the Lord, the King, the Messiah, the ruler, the firstborn. And by the way, firstborn doesn't refer to him being born in a stable, though that is wonderfully true, nor does it mean that he had a beginning, because, of course, Jesus always existed with the Heavenly Father. If there was a time when he was didn't exist and then did exist, well, that would put him on the creation side of the line from the Creator. But no, he's on the Creator side, as we're going to see in the next thing. He's revealer, he's ruler. And now verse 16, and this is perhaps the most mind-blowing of all. He is the creator of all. Just this verse is so packed, and it is quite astonishing. It's a verse actually to learn, because it tells you that everything there ever is, everything that there ever was, everything that there's going to be, was made by Jesus and for Jesus. So the little link words in this verse: in him all things were created, in him. And later on, all things have been created through him and for him, in him, through him, for him. Jesus is the one who made absolutely everything. And in case there's any exceptions in our mind, well, Paul gathers it all up in this verse. For in him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. This is mind-blowing, isn't it? It's absolutely mind-blowing who Jesus is. Those four powers are quite important. So let me read those four powers again. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Now, as we look around the world today, there are many people, probably like the neighbours in Colossae, who believed that there were many spiritual forces and localised deities ruling over the world. Actually, Emma and I watched a film, beautifully filmed, but rather tragic documentary, 36 minutes. I'd recommend it to you. It's called The Last Honey Hunter. I've put it on the Dig Deeper sheet, which we'll be emailing around later in the week. The Last Honey Hunter. And it gives you a real insight into this mindset that there are these deities, these spiritualities, these forces, these spirits, if you like, that kind of control the world. And for this man in a Nepalese village in the Himalayas, he believed that he was chosen to follow in his ancestors' footsteps, to be a special man who was chosen to harvest a hallucinogenic honey, which is only accessible from the crags of the mountains in the foothills of the Himalayas. And what is tragic about this story, and I'd encourage you to watch it, is that you can see a whole community that is enslaved by fear to this particular local deity or spirit called Ronkemi, a cruel god who you don't know will either bless you with honey or may even curse you with death. Do you see how easy it is for people to be enslaved by spiritual forces, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, whether they're linked to real demonic forces in the spiritual realms or whether they're a figment of someone's imagination? They hold sway over people like today's tarot cards or horoscopes or lottery numbers. But what Paul is saying is that whether visible or invisible, friendly or foe, there is no force, no spirit, no power, nothing in the created realm, but nothing in the spiritual realm either, that comes anywhere near Jesus or is let alone on a par with him. He's the creator of everything. Deal with him and you're going to the top. So if you've ever had any experience of dark powers or difficult, dark situations, you can be encouraged that when you talk to Jesus, you're going straight to the top. But for us in the West, we may not have this same sort of mindset about different thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. The rulers and authorities in our world may be more spiritual, or they may be more influences on our lives. But nevertheless, they can hold a real grip on our lives. Take, of course, in our current era, COVID. a fear of COVID. One article in the Times just at the end of the summer spoke about COVID's next torment, as if COVID has become a kind of personality to destroy us. Now, I don't want us to minimise the seriousness of our current crisis or suggest that we shouldn't be taking it seriously. But actually, COVID is part of creation, whereas Jesus is the Lord over creation. He is the creator itself. He is the creator himself. He is so much bigger. And I love the advice that Becca gave us right at the beginning of lockdown, the very first live stream on Mother's Day. She reminded us that we should be talking more about Jesus and thinking more about Jesus than about coronavirus. Which one fills your mind at the moment, COVID or Christ? Make sure you think more about Jesus. He's the creator. He's absolutely in control. But perhaps for us, there are other things as well. Maybe we feel like the thing that really controls me is the opinion of my friends at work. Maybe I feel that I'm only complete as a true man, or as a kind mother, or as a good bloke, if I have or achieve certain things. A new job, a new boyfriend, a new kitchen. These things can control our lives. But these things are part of the creation rather than the creator. I'm looking around the screens to see if, I won't name him by name, but I know that one member of our church had a birthday this week. And he was made, I saw him the night before finishing off one cake, because the next day was his birthday. So he had a new cake to look forward to the very next day. And wouldn't it be a shame if we were given a cake and our whole focus was consumed by this cake rather than the one that had made the cake? The creator of the cake is bigger than the cake itself. Because, of course, he or she is the designer and the mind and the person behind that part of creation. Well, Jesus made absolutely everything that there is. And so we should worship him. Jesus is the revealer, the ruler, the creator of all things. And one more thing before we move on to our second point. He's the sustainer of all creation as well. You see that in verse 17. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. The only reason that this universe doesn't collapse is because of Jesus. The only reason that every atom keeps rolling and going is Jesus. He is the one that holds everything together. The reason that you just breathed or had a heartbeat is because of Jesus. And that's true for your Muslim neighbor or your Hindu work colleague. Jesus is the one that keeps this whole life going. Dare I say it, the reason that you haven't had COVID yet is because Jesus has ruled it. That doesn't mean that you ignore social distancing, but it means that ultimately your life and death are in his hands. So can I ask, as we close this first point, is your Jesus big enough? Is your Jesus big enough? It's one thing to be standing at a bus stop and get distracted by your neighbour's phone because you're at the bus stop. But I hope you wouldn't be distracted by your neighbour's phone when you're standing at the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is so big that it fills your whole view. Your neighbour there might have a nice phone, but actually look at what you can see in front of you. It's so big, it fills all your view, and you don't want to get distracted by something little like an iPhone. Well, Jesus, the bigger we see he is, the more he will fill our view so that we don't get distracted. Let's move on to the second thing about Jesus. Jesus is supreme over all creation. Jesus is supreme over all the church. Before we do move on to the second point, we're going to have a little bit of fun just for a moment. I know it's hard listening to sermons online. I'm actually going to share with you a song which I hope will be a little bit of fun as we let me find it. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to share a little song with you, which just tells you some of the things in creation that were made by Jesus. Hope you can hear this.
There's an ant plant, hand span, ham spam, jam tram, man, boy, girl, cheese flan. There's a car, spa, tar bar, aardvark, hardvark, shark, dog, park, walk, lock. God made everything you see. He made you and he made me. There's an ink, link, pink, drink, zinc, blink, sink, wink. God made everything. There's a prawn, lawn, dawn, horn, pick, tick, picnic, zoo, zoo, lulu, tutu. There's a hot spot, nut, pot, top, cot, dot, yacht, bees, knees, flea, ski, sneeze. God made everything you see. He made you and he made me. There's a crane, grain, mainframe, plain grain, plain rain. God made everything. Oh, God made everything you see. He made you and...
There we go. A little bit of fun there. And an opportunity to shut my door, which has been... clattering in the wind, just a few of the things that Jesus has made. Awesome cutlery. What a great band. Okay, let's go to our second point, and it is this. So first of all, Jesus is supreme over all creation. He made everything from aardvarks to mainframes, etc. But secondly, Jesus isn't just supreme over the creation, he's supreme over the church, and we get that in these other two verses. And I know that these are dense, packed verses, and it's hard to concentrate when you're looking at a TV or a computer screen, but please just listen in as we hear how awesome Jesus is, not just over creation, but over the new creation, over the church. Verse 18. He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, I don't know if you can see on the screen there, we've got a little circle with some members of our church. In the days before social distancing, of course, the church isn't the building or the denomination, the organization. The church is the local gathering of God's people. So what these next verses say is that this amazing creator is actually interested in and working on the project called Christ Church Colossae, or Christ Church Huntingdon. You see, this creation that Jesus has made is horribly broken, and we can see that so clearly in our environment and in our world today. It's because of our rebellion and sin. And so Jesus is mending the world, and he's mending the world with a project called the church. First of all, Jesus is the head of the church. You see that in verse 18. Now, head speaks again of his supremacy and his rule, because a head rules the body. But actually, cut a head off from the rest of the body and you're not going to have any life. The head is involved with the very life of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's our boss, and he gives us life. He's the pioneer. Verse 18, he's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. There's that firstborn word again, the authority, the supreme, the inheritor. But here, Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. He was the one that pioneered the way. He came down into this broken world and he led the charge through death and out beyond. Jesus can't be just another piece of luggage in our already pretty full luggage compartment of life, alongside having a decent job and a decent house and 2.4 kids and some nice holidays. Jesus isn't another piece of luggage. He's the whole car. He's the whole destination. He's the whole adventure. And he's driving this car, if I can put it like that. Verse 12 and 13, out of darkness and death and into light and life. Do you see how awesome Jesus is? I wish we could all be together and give one another a massive hug and just sort of celebrate how amazing Jesus is. He's the head of our church. He's the pioneer of our church. He's the fullness of God. You see that in verse 19. This is really important for what he's going to say next about Jesus rescuing. Jesus has to be 100% God and 100% man, fully God, fully man, to rescue us. And he clearly is. Verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. God was delighted to tabernacle in Jesus. 100%. So there's no overflow of God to be found outside of Jesus. Why would anyone look outside of Jesus for more of God? We had a question about this in our recent men's breakfast about the relationship with other religions. Of course, there are going to be practical things, little tips in life that we might glean from other philosophies and books. But why would we want to leave Jesus behind? He is, in him is the fullness of God. And without that, he wouldn't be able to do what we see next, which is to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the head, the pioneer, the fullness, the reconciler. He is able to bring two estranged parties together. There's a lovely film called The Straight Story. You see The Straight Story, I've put that on the screen. It's a film about a guy who's driving a lawnmower thousands of miles across the American Midwest. Why is he doing this? Well, because he's had a broken relationship with his brother. He's called Alvin Straight, hence the film The Straight Story. Now, he can't drive a car because he's too old. His eyesight isn't good enough, but he's okay to drive a lawnmower. So he goes at 5 miles an hour, thousands of miles, to see his estranged brother before, effectively, it's too late. And it's so moving at the end of the film. I'll let you watch it for yourself. When Alvin meets up with his brother, Lyle, it's based on a true story. And the brother sees the lengths that he's been to reconcile, to mend the relationship. And you and I are part of a broken creation that is cut off from our maker. Not just a fallen humanity, but a fallen cosmos as well, with cancer and COVID and climate change. But the supreme ruler, the supreme servant, has stepped into our world to mend this broken relationship. He went to extreme lengths to have us back. He did it, verse 20, when he shed his blood, when blood physically flowed from his body as he died historically on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he made peace. Do you see how big Jesus is? Do you see that he didn't just make us, but he rescues us as well? And he's fixing up the whole of creation, not just humanity, but a broken creation itself is being rescued as well by his blood shed on the cross. Can I ask as we close, is your Jesus big enough? Is your Jesus big enough? Or are you adding to Jesus, subtly thinking that we need something extra to make us okay with God? The cross is great, but we just feel a little bit more secure if we've said our prayers for the day or done our Bible reading. Maybe we feel slightly closer to God on a day when we've been to church or helped an elderly neighbor. But Jesus did enough to reconcile the whole universe when he died on the cross. We're not attempting to top up his work, are we? We're not looking to some preacher, priest, philosophy, person, ceremony, ritual, church project, spirituality, or key to unlock a relationship with God, are we? Has Jesus not done enough? In this passage, we see that Jesus is supreme over all creation, and he's supreme over all the church. So let's not move away from him. Let's not add to him. Let's not move from the hope in the gospel. And next week, we will see a call to make sure that we continue in the faith that we were taught. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome passage. And we pray that you'd help each one of us to spend some time digging into it some more, so that we might see how wonderful Jesus is. Please enable us to know more fully and more clearly how big and how awesome Jesus is, and that we might respect him as the ruler over the creation and over the new creation. Help us this coming week to do exactly that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.